used to gamble, now I'm broke, but I'm gonna write a new joke.
A new joke!
Nobody grows up saying, I hope I get to play two games in the major leagues. My dream growing up was to be a Major League Baseball player. I never made it. The furthest I ever made was junior college. Nothing ever came of it. In 2000, I was 15 years old. I would frequent Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Red Barons games with my friends. And we became fans of the right fielder because we sat in the right field bleachers. And the right fielder at the time for the Red Barons was a guy named Jalal Leach. And I didn't know it when I first became a fan because, honestly, we only started to like him because he was a right fielder. If he was in left field, this never would even be a story. But we got close with Jalal Leach, and he was cool with us. He would talk to us when he was in the field. He would talk to us before games. He was just really seemed like a cool guy. So I got to know his backstory a little bit. And at the time in 2000, I found out that Jalal Leach was basically a career minor leaguer. He was drafted in 1990 by the New York Yankees. It was 2000 when I was aware of him. And it turns out that this guy was grinding out the minor leagues for over 10 plus seasons, and he never got a major league call-up. Well, when he got traded in the summer of 2000, I was upset because I felt like I grew to know him a little bit. And I followed his career after he left. And he ended up in the Giants organization. And then in 2001, he finally got the call up to the major leagues. So, like, I've always just had a respect and admiration for just the fact that he was such a grinder, you know? Growing up, I wanted to play Major League Baseball. I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. I wasn't good enough. Now, I'm doing stand-up comedy. And doing open mics is like the single A of Major League Baseball. It is an ultimate grind. So the fact that this guy, Jalal Leach, put in all that work just to achieve his dream is absolutely amazing to me. And through the power of Twitter, I was able to connect with Jalal Leach. And he agreed to come on and let me waste his time and let me do an interview with him. And that is what I'm going to play today. This was so exciting for me to do. It was just fun. I hope he had fun doing it. And yeah, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. I ask him a lot of questions. I ask him questions that he'd never been asked before. I like to do this a little different, you know? I don't like to talk about the things everybody knows. I like to talk about the things that people don't generally ask Jalal Leach. So I tried to make it different. I tried to make it fun. I hope he enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it. So yeah, I'm going to play that interview with former Major League Baseball player Jalal Leach right now. I'm joined by former Major League Baseball player Jalal Leach. He is a superstar in my book. I grew up watching him in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre where I grew up. He played for the Red Barons briefly, minor league team. He's got an incredible story about how he made it to the major league. It's just it's an amazing journey. But to me, you made it to the major leagues. You're a superstar, man. Like that's the dream. That was my dream growing up. Talk a little bit about that, if you could.
Well, just making it to the big leagues. I mean, like everyone, just growing up, being a kid, excuse me, playing little league and moving on all the way through high school and just really playing it because everyone else played, and once I got to college and my skill set really started to develop, and my college coach at Pepperdine University, I played for Dave Gorey and Andy Lopez. Coach Lopez told me, you're going to have a chance to play pro ball, and I didn't really know much about it, but once I got drafted and got through the procedure and got in there, I realized how much I liked playing. And I just, it was a labor of love, and, I grinded it out for, I think I was in the minors, 12 years before I got called up, and I came across you in I think it was 2000 when I was in Scranton.
Yep.
And, you know, teammates I had then that went on to become really good major leaguers, Jimmy Rollins and Pat Burrell, were on that club, and it was a lot of fun, and I just took it, got my call to the big leagues the next year with San Francisco for a hot minute, and then I bounced around a few more years, and then, you know, Father Time still undefeated, and forced me out of there.
So you, like you mentioned, you when you were in Scranton Wilkes-Barre, you played with Jimmy Rollins and Pat Burrell. And so did you play? You played with Burrell. He was there when you were there.
Yeah, he came through.
I remember he was.
I don't know if he started with us. Maybe he did start with us, but he was there. I can't remember if he started the season with us. Or if he came kind of once we got going, because I was only there about half of the season.
Right. So. Yeah, I remember when they traded you in the middle of the season, and we as fans, we were caught off guard. Like, we were like, oh, no, you know, like, we Jalal Leach. So I followed your career after that, and, like, I mentioned to you when I spoke on Twitter how, like, your first major league at bat, I did some research, so it's like 2001, September 5th. That's your first major league at bat. Like, take me through that moment, because you played over 1,200 minor league games before you made it to the major league. So that first at bat, just that at bat, what's that like?
Well, to me, the at bat itself was, once I got in the batter's box, I'm like, I've done this a lot, so. It wasn't so much the at-bat, it was more the anticipation of the at-bat. So leading up to, you know, when playing for the Giants and Dusty Baker was the manager then, you know, he told me going into that inning, he said, hey, you're going to lead off for LeVon, pinch hit roll the next inning. So, you know, I had like the longest half inning waiting for this half inning to end. And I think I went to the bathroom like 9 times. I know I had some great veterans on my team, Sean Dunson and Eric Davis. They were laughing and taking bets to see if I was going to throw up or not. And I told them, I said, I won't throw up. I said, I'll go to the bathroom, but I won't throw up. And then, you know, the inning finally ended, and I came out on deck. And, you know, Dusty gave me some words of encouragement, you know, like he always does or did. And it was just, you know, I came out and looked around for the full stadium because we were still in contention. And we were playing the Diamondbacks. And the crazy thing about it was Curt Schilling was pitching for them.
Oh.
And the year before, he was a Philly. And the year before, if you remember, he got hurt and he rehabbed with us.
Just to stop you real quick, me and my buddies, we actually painted our chest for that game in Scranton Wilkes-Barre. It was like a freezing day. We painted our chest and said Barons. That's how into it we were. But yeah, I remember when Schilling pitched for them. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I remember I made a nice play when he was pitching. You know, like I ran out of ball right into the foul territory, and he came and said something to him. And then, to kind of twist it a little bit, Kurt knew that Kevin Jordan and myself were really good friends. And he played with Kevin Jordan, obviously, in Philadelphia for a long time. So to fast forward it to 2001, when I got my first at bat, it was against Kurt. And that night, he was blowing. I mean, he was 96, 97 with a wicked split finger. I mean, he was striking us out left and right. So all I kept saying is, if I pinch hit, I am going to be ready for first pitch fastball, because there's no way I'm going to let him get to that split finger to make me look like a fool in my first at bat. So, you know, so I get up there, and he was throwing really hard, and, you know, I wanted to be on time and quick. So I changed, because I used a rather heavy bat, so I changed my bat, and I used Ramon Martinez's bat, same model, just a little lighter. And because I'm thinking I'm pinching and I'm not playing, so I got to use a little bit lighter bat. And when I went up there, Ramon, he said he started to come to me and say, use your bat because your adrenaline is going to be pumping so much it's going right. to feel like. But I used his bat, so I came up there, and the first pitch, soon as he threw it as a hitter, you know your pitch. Soon as he let it go, I said, that's my pitch. Well, as I started to come forward to swing, the bat was coming way too fast. And long and short of it, I got out in front of it a little bit, hit it off the end, broke my bat, and popped it up to the right fielder and popped out. And then when I came around first and I was going back to the dugout behind the mound, Kirk said, he yelled at me. He yelled something at me like, congrats, man, wait, get up here, blah, 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 blah. And I guess after the game, he called Kevin and he said, man, your boy got his first at bat in the big leagues off of me. And I gave him a cookie, and he popped it up to right. And I told KJ, I said, hey, I wish I would have known, you know, so I would have been right. in on it, because I was just watching how he was going down that night. And, you know, that was it. You know, to pop out, got that out of the way, and, you know, and then 9/11 hit and all that. We stopped for a little bit
right.
and all that.
Right. I noticed that when I was looking, because I was looking at your you know, your major league career, like when you did it, and you actually started in the major leagues and then 9/11 happened. That's crazy, the timing, you know? That's
yeah, and at the time, we were in Houston when it hit, and they were talking about canceling the season, and I was like, man, I waited 12 years. And, you know, you never know if you're going to get back, so I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's – that timing, man.
So that
that's just yeah. That has to be interesting to go through. If I could go back to your minor league days for a minute. So you get drafted in 1990 by the New York Yankees, and then you make it to the Columbus Clippers, AAA baseball, 1994. Am I on so far?
Yep.
All right. So you played with Posada, Jeter, Andy Pettit, and those are some amazing names, but I have a name that interests me because this guy was like my favorite player before 1994. Did you play with Matt Noakes? Do you remember playing with Matt Noakes?
Yes, I played with Matt.
Matt Noakes? Like, you played with those amazing guys, Jeter, Pettit, Posada, they're great. But I'm sure everybody asks you about those guys. Do you have anything about Matt Noakes? Because when I was in Little League, favorite player on the back of my card was Matt Noakes. I love Matt Noakes.
Matt was a veteran. He's a little older than me, and he was a nice guy. He just, I mean, I think my time with him, I don't know if he played the whole season.
Yeah,
I feel like he was up and down or something.
Yeah, in '94 he split between the Yankees and the Clippers. I wasn't sure if your timing matched up.
Yeah, so I didn't spend a whole lot of time with him, but I remember playing with him. You know, he was a veteran, nice guy. I'm sure he didn't want to be in Columbus, Ohio at that stage of his career.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, I remember he had some poolside power. And, you know, well-versed in the game is my memory of Matt.
Yeah.
But
I thought I'd throw that.
I think he's doing something like a hitting school or teaching or training in Southern California, if I believe. That's where he's at now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just remember when he played for the Yankees and then he ended up in the minor league system. It was I just always liked that guy. I thought it'd be different to ask you about Matt Noakes, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Moss, now, you remember him.
Yes. Yeah, Kevin Moss in 95, right?
Yeah, with the Yankees. We were locked in, and we were both from California, Northern California, so we talked a lot. And he was super smart, and I always used to say, because he had, like, some kind of engineering degree, and I used to tell him, Kevin, you're too smart for baseball. I don't even know why you're out here playing this. This is not for you. You know, but he's just a really cerebral guy and really a really good guy. So, I know I spent a lot of time with him. And then all the other greats, you know, Pettit, Posada, G, you know, as they start pushing up to, you know, becoming really corner pieces for the Yankees.
Right, yeah, you got there at a time when, like, their outfield was loaded, right? Like, they had O'Neill,
yeah.
Bernie Williams, like, that's just crazy time to be in the Yankees organization.
John James, yeah, they had Gerald Williams. I mean, there are a lot of guys.
Gerald Williams, there's a name. Yeah. Wow. Thinking back, baseball. I love baseball, man. I love baseball. I'm assuming you still work in baseball, right?
Yes. I'm a scout / Pacific Rim coordinator for the Marlins. And this is my second year I've been here with these guys.
That's awesome. So if I have you on again, you're going to bring on Jeter?
I don't know about that.
No? Well, hey, we'll talk. You know, we'll negotiations. You know what I mean? I think, you know, if he's not busy, you know, that would be no pressure. Yeah. No pressure. No, man, it's awesome getting to talk to you. You said, so Dusty Baker was your manager when you broke in with the Giants, and he's back with the Astros now. Do you have any opinion on this whole sign stealing thing?
Well, I mean, I know when we played, you know, we were always trying to look for an edge and an advantage. You know, I played with some guys that were the master at picking up pitches. I could do it a little bit myself. And to me, you know, whenever someone could get the signs, either out of the pitcher's hand or via the signs when they got on base, I always wanted to know what was coming. I know some guys say they don't want to know. If you're facing someone with a nasty out pitch or you know, something that is virtually unhittable, for me, I always wanted to know what they were throwing, because it gave you, I don't know if it makes you a better hitter, but it gives you a better chance. So, you know, I guess the thing with the Astros, from what I read, is, you know, they just kind of crossed the line. And I think that's what gave them an unfair advantage, was they kind of stepped over the line, you know, if they were using camera, and then they could relay it real time. So I think that's what, you know, the other teams could, you know, be upset with them about, is, you know, they kind of had an unfair advantage, because it wasn't like they were stealing their signs from second base or the pitchers were tipping the pitches. You know, they were using technology, so they say, for that advantage. So, but, you know, the commissioner did what he had to do, and now guys know you can't do it, and some fortunate guys lost their job, you know, and I know it's probably going to be tough for them this year, but they got the right man. I you know, I live near Dusty, and before he actually interviewed, I told him he was going to get an interview, and then once he interviewed, I told him he was going to get the job, and he thinks I'm psychic now.
Yeah.
But I just told him.
Dusty Baker.
Oh, you were the right man for that job, and he got it. He actually texted me this morning, Ernie. He said, "What are you doing up?" I said, "I never sleep regular, thanks. So I'm traveling so much. I'm all over the world. So me to sleep 6 or 8 hours straight is virtually impossible. So, you know, when I hear my phone, I usually look at it, and, you know, if it's someone I want to reply to, I'll reply back to them pretty quick."
Yeah, I appreciate you getting back to me, man. This has been a thrill. This has been an absolute thrill for me. You got some Dusty Baker. I used to be a betting man. I used to bet on baseball. Do you gamble? Are you a gambler by any chance?
Not so much.
Okay, I used to be a big gambler. I used to bet on baseball. That's what I really got into. And from an outsider, because Dusty Baker's been around forever, so it's like you just. Like Dusty, I have so many Dusty Baker, like betting, like just him managing and me screaming at Dusty Baker through the TV. Like, oh man, it's just, this is surreal to me. So, couple questions about the Giants. So another weird guy that you played with, like you played with Bonds, you played with Jeff Kent, you played with JT Snow, but there was a guy, John Vanderwall. Remember John Vanderwall?
Very well.
Okay, so like when I came up playing bait, like in Legion, I was known to come off the bench and be like a pinch hitter in crunch time, and that was like John Vanderwall was like the pinch hitter king. So if you have a story about John Vanderwall, that'd be, if anything.
Vandy, he is awesome. I can't say enough good things about him. When I got, you know, up for my time with the Giants, he was there, and, you know, he was playing off the bench sporadically. I was even further down the totem pole. So he took care of me, you know, when we went, because he had played a lot with the Rockies, and when we went to Denver, he took care of me there. And, you know, he just kind of, I just watched guys like him to see how they prepared themselves when, you know, when they had to come off the bench.
Right.
And, you know, he just knew, he knew what he wanted to do, and he attacked. And he was, you know, he knew how to swing that bat playing from the bench, which isn't easy.
Nope.
I think at any level, pinch hitting is not an easy thing to do. And he was really good at it. So I have nothing but good things to say about Mr. Vanderwall. The last time I saw him, he was scouting. I think he was pro scouting for the Padres, and I think he coached, maybe a hitting coach, an A-ball with someone. I haven't seen him in a couple years. But I know he had a son that was playing. He was a little bit older than my son. So I saw him even at some youth tournaments. I think I saw him in Atlanta several years ago. So I hope he's doing well wherever he is, or whatever he's up to, because he's a really good guy.
That's great. When you woke up this morning, did you think you were going to get a question about John Vanderwall?
That would be a no.
All right, real quick, to go over your major. So Major League, you have 12 plate appearances. You have 10 at-bats, 2 walks. You have 1 Major League hit, and that was September 19th. And RBI, you got an RBI on the hit. That, you still have that baseball, I'm assuming?
I have all the particulars, the bat, the ball. I was hitting with Benito Santiago's bat.
Oh,
so I have that bat. I think my kid might, either of my kids, I kind of gave them the stuff to keep. My jersey is in one of those shadow boxes. I'm trying to think where the batting gloves, I think I put the batting gloves and the pitcher all in the shadow box. So, yeah, I still have all that stuff.
And you also have 1 put out in the major leagues. I'm assuming you caught a fly ball or something. Is that a memory? Like your first put out in the major leagues?
I don't even remember that.
No, I was wondering if anybody ever asked you about that 1 put out instead of the hit. You know, if because I don't major league. You always see people keep the baseball to get their first hit. What did he do with the first put out? I'm assuming it was a. According to the stats, you have 1 put out. I know you started a game in left field. I think that it might have been when it happened. I don't know.
So it must have been against the Dodgers, because I know I played in the field against the Padres on a Sunday day game, and I think those are the only times I played in the field with San Francisco, and then against the yeah, so it must have been that home game against the Dodgers. That's a good question.
We're going to get on that, man. I'm going to find out where that ball is. We're going to get you that ball somehow. I don't know how we're going to do it. Maybe Jeter knows. Maybe we get Jeter on. No? Okay. Man, this has been awesome for me. I hope you had a little fun with this. Anything you want to talk? Anything you want to plug, talk about?
Not really. The club I'm working for, you know, we're in a rebuild, but I feel like we're getting better, and it's exciting seeing us have more players come along, and it kind of reminds me of how when I was coming up with the Yankees, how they built the foundation over there, you know, with a lot of good athletes and big, strong pitchers, and, you know, I think it looked, from an outsider looking in, it looks like Jeter and company were using that same model, and shoot, it'd be nice to not, if we could win 1 championship, would be awesome, but if we could do what they did or even get close, that would be tremendous.
That's great, man. Good luck this season with the Marlins organization. I'm a Pirates fan, so I'm hoping they have a rebuild as well. It's baseball's fun, man. I can't wait for the season. Thank you so much for letting me waste your time, man. Do you have a World Series pick? Any prediction on a World Series pick? You got to make March 2nd.
The Marlins.
The Marlins, of course. Well, you get some good betting odds on that, man. If you want to start gambling, I could hook you up. No,
we're not supposed to bet on baseball.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a That's a thing. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, Jalal Leach is not going to bet on bait. No, not at all. Man, thank you, man. Thank you so much. If you had fun, I hope you had fun, man. I hope I ask you some stuff. The put out thing. I'm gonna get that baseball. I'm gonna figure it out.
Now you're gonna have me sitting. I'm out here watching two Korean baseball professional league teams. They do spring training here in Tucson.
Oh wow!
And while I'm sitting here watching them play today, I'm gonna be thinking about that the whole game. Like, where did I make that play? It had to have been in San Francisco. That's all I keep thinking of.
I'm going to spend the rest of my day researching play-by-play of that game and see if I could find it. I want to get this information now, probably more than you. thank you, man. Enjoy the baseball, man. You're still doing baseball. That's awesome, man. Oh, that's so awesome. Yes. That's awesome.
My passion is what I love, what I like. And really, what gets me excited every day.
Oh, that's great. Excuse me. I'm getting emotional, man. This is nuts. All right, man. I will let you go. If you ever want to hop back on, I think we'll just enjoy it. And, you know, just maybe like the fourth digit of Jeter's number, and I'll guess the rest. One more. No? Okay. All right, Joel. Thank you, man.
I gotta keep my job, Benny.
Hey, you got a job here if you ever need it. It does not pay, probably. Well, it doesn't pay anything, but thank you, man. Joel Leach, baseball correspondent of I Quit Gambling, so I started a podcast. Been a pleasure for me. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right, take care. All right, well, looks like I got a busy day ahead of me of checking 2001 Giants box scores. Try to find out when this putout happened. We've come to pretty much the end of the show. At the end of the show, I update a counter for all the episodes I've done without gambling. Counter currently sits at 36 episodes without gambling. I'm going to go ahead and update that counter right now to 37 episodes without gambling. Special thank you to Jalal Leach for joining me. And yeah, that's it. Time to finish it. Just finish it.